B-Pod Studios.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Generally, there's a significance when Jim Louth plays a song like this. Billy Idol, Eyes Without a Face. And we're going to be talking about Patrick Chung.
Papers peeled?
Wrong mic. I got to get some of these Eyes songs out of the way here. I had them all loaded up, ready to go.
Papers peeled.
So there is no significance.
Kind of.
I didn't even know if this works.
Are your eyes going to be in the secondary tonight at the start of the game?
Yeah, would you play Pat Chung tonight?
But without a face.
It says eyes, though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, don't overthink it.
But Hall & Oates, private eyes. They're watching you. They see your every move. And they saw something in Patrick Chung's house. Apparently, allegedly, reportedly, as Arcan was just getting us updated there and... Now, multiple confirmations of, how are we phrasing it in our official hub headlines here this afternoon, Chris?
That he's been indicted on felony charge of cocaine possession. There's some songs about cocaine, I think. Eric Clapton's got one.
That's true.
Buck Cherry lit up. We actually played that yesterday at some point. That would have been a good one.
It's a coincidence there. Mm-hmm. The arraignment is this next Wednesday in Belknap Superior Court. And Volan just tweeted that any punishment for Chung won't come until the situation is resolved and trial isn't expected to start until next spring. So it may not matter for this season here.
And I would further speculate, we're trying not to do any speculating, but I think one thing that seems to bear mention is if it goes to trial.
Right.
Not necessarily going to be a trial. We see that all the time. So in the interim, does anything happen to Patrick Chung?
Doesn't sound like it.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I got to be honest, I don't think it should. Like, Arcan had a good point. Like, what'd they do with Daron Harmon last year?
Zip.
Yeah, it's a harder drug. But, like, what happened to Daron Harmon last year? Played every game?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't think anything really should happen here. First-time offense, we think. And possession? With, as far as we know, you know, no intent to distribute or anything like that, like just indicted on possession. It'll play its way through the legal system, and then maybe next year he'll have to face a suspension for it, maybe not. But like I said this earlier, long term it may not be a good thing for Pat Chung. This year I think he's fine, you know, in terms of his standing on the roster, in terms of playing every week. Would you play him tonight?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, there's something to see here, but we're not talking about it, and we're not going to take any action until the judicial process runs a course. So by not playing him, that would in some way be taking action.
Well, yeah, but could they kind of have an excuse? Correct me if I'm wrong. He's been in like a red non-contact at a lot of these practices, right? So maybe they could just continue with, oh, well, he's hurt. That's why he wasn't out there. Like maybe there's a way to not have him out there, but blame it for something different. But I hear what you're saying. If he plays, then it's like, yeah, we don't think it's a big deal. That's the message is we don't think this is a big deal. I generally think, and I haven't been down there in a while, Hardy, but I generally think after preseason games, they pretty much make everyone available, meaning if you're requested, they make you available. For the most part, I mean, I'm sure that's not tried and true 100%, but I generally think that's the way it works. So if he plays, I think that opens him up to either being available, and then if they shoot down any interview requests, that's kind of drawing attention to it. If he's up there just, you know, referring to Belichick's statement or whatever, hey, talk to coach about it, or you know, however he explains it away, that's going to draw attention to it. So it seems like the easiest way to avoid a story, if you will, and let it, you know, kind of tramp down a little bit in terms of the news cycle is to not play him tonight and get him out of sight, out of mind.
Is to not play him. However, you can essentially put to rest anything by saying, we released a statement. We're not going to have any comment on this until the judicial process plays out, and that's not going to be taking place for a while. Do you have questions
Chung
on
really
anything
that?
Else?
Can Chung really do that?
The team and I are not making any statement on this situation until the judicial process plays out. Are there questions about anything else?
Yeah, I mean, he can keep answering it that way, but I feel like you can get, I don't know. Bill can stay on message. Can every player just stay on message and keep doing that over and over again?
Well, then every player is going to be asked about it. You know, if that's the case, you can't sit everybody. So, yes, you could obviously do a lot by sitting Chung.
No, but to me, every other player can refer to Bill's statement. Everybody else can be like, that's not my thing. Bill talked about it. You know, right. you got to talk to Pat. Like, everybody else can do that. I don't know if Patrick Chung really can be like, well, Bill had a statement on it. Bill had a statement on what happened to you, so you should be able to provide more insight than Bill in the first place. So I think it's tough for him to refer to a statement.
I really can't. It's an ongoing legal process, and I can't comment.
Maybe he could put out a statement, you know, and that's exactly what it says, and then he could refer to that.
Can't comment on it.
I don't think he can refer to Bill's statement. I wouldn't play him, by the way.
Okay. By the way, the Red Sox have resumed their rain-delayed game here this afternoon. One pitch, one out already. We are now 10 pitches in and still in the top of the 10th inning.
I like Josh.
10 pitches counts the previous game.
I like Josh Taylor's
stuff.
Less than
10 pitches in.
They actually threw a pitch in the 10th?
Oh, yeah. A couple of pitches got out of the way the other day.
Okay. Well, he's at 11 pitches now and there are two outs.
Yeah, Taylor started a 2-1 count.
I'll tell you what. Taylor's looking dialed in. I don't like to make these kinds of predictions, but I'm not ruling out a no-hitter today, Hardy. Ruling out a no-hitter for Taylor. He's on the bump, and he's looking nasty.
Is it too early in the game to say he's spinning a gem?
Oh, it's a gem, all right.
The batter he's facing now is pinch-hitting because there was a player cut from the Royals.
A player died, actually, between the game and the resumption of the game here this afternoon. Passed away from old age. And now we are headed to the bottom of the 10th inning.
I hope the first pitch is a home run. Okay, all people have to go home.
Okay. Benny?
There's a lot of people at the park.
Benny?
You can tell just from the shots, there are way more people there than I thought would be there.
Benny, Vasky, and two bags there. One, Moreland. Two, three. And if anybody gets on, Holt. What a game. We could have a walk-off in the next minute or two. Just a walk-off win at Fenway. Yeah. What a day.
There are 6,000 kids there for free, Hardy.
How many people do you think...
You still have to drive in. You got to pay to park. It's not free.
Good point.
How many people do you think are like getting a hot dog right now and they might miss a walk-off?
Do you think they charge for parking out there?
I don't know.
Yeah. Do you think the Red Sox are charging for parking? Yes, I think
normally.
The Red Sox...
Hell, gas money. Yeah. It costs something to go to a game.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're charging like the hourly rate, not like the game rate.
I read they're charging normal parking rates.
I would imagine the rest.
And all those independent lots all around there, the same as always. It's no different for them.
That's
they don't care.
That's lovely. That's nice. We have calls to get to here. Speaking of the Red Sox, Matt has something on Dombrowski. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I just don't understand the hate that Dombrowski has gotten this past year. I mean, like, Red Sox fans are so short-sighted as a whole. I mean, this guy made moves, you know, during last season that brought the town a championship, right? And so collectively, when you look into this year, it's basically the same cast of characters that have just totally underperformed. And so I don't understand, especially in the pitching front, how the blame continues to go against this guy when the team is basically the same, right? He hasn't done much.
No, it's not the same. You don't have a couple of guys. And Matt, I understand what you're saying. When you do have a lot of key players back, but Joe Kelly ended up factoring into that championship last year. He's gone. You don't have a closer. You decided to go without a closer on a team with spending this kind of money, and you're just not going to get one. And by the way, the bullpen was cobbled together and ended up exceeding expectations through the latter half of last season. And if they just went in thinking, well, it worked out last year, it can work out again this year, that's a horrible mindset to have. Everything worked out for the best last year. 108 wins, my God, and most in team history. What could possibly go wrong? Well, you could fall short by 20 or more wins and miss the playoffs because you... you backed into a lot of that stuff out of good luck, and there were a couple of key guys that were there that are not there now, and to say you have the same team is just being, it's just wrong. It's incorrect.
I didn't hate going into the year hoping one of Brazzers or Barnes would emerge as a closer. Like, I didn't hate that. I wish they got a closer in the offseason, but I didn't think that was the worst thing in the world. Not addressing it at the trade deadline was terrible. I just don't totally know who to blame for that. Is that 100% Dombrowski? Is some of that on John Henry for not wanting to spend in the luxury tax territory? Now, you can put that back on Dombrowski because he spent on Eovaldi in the offseason, and, you know, he handed out contracts to Steve Pierce. Why am I blind? Who's the third baseman? Nunez, who they already released. So, I mean, you can put that back on Dombrowski in the way he managed assets, but I put some of that on ownership, too. They're still paying Pablo Sandoval, for God's sakes. So, I don't know. I don't know that he deserves as much blame as he's getting. I don't think he should pay for it with his job. I'd bring Dombrowski back. But if you're asking me what I think is going to happen based on what Dan Shaughnessy floated a couple of weeks back or a month ago, I think he's out of a job, which I think stinks, but I think that's what it's going
to
be.
Well, do you want to extend him, though? Like, do you want to extend him past next year?
No, I would have him be a lame duck next year. I don't get why having a lame duck GM is that bad of a thing.
Because you have a really big, important signing or trade or something to do there with Mookie Betts, and having a lame duck do it, I think, is kind of counterintuitive.
What's the call on Mookie Betts?
What to do with him?
Okay, well, if you're signing him, that's a pretty easy one. That's out of Dombrowski's control. And
assuming they don't, I mean, you want this guy doing it when he's going to leave?
Well, I don't know.
Or if he's not going to be re-signed and he knows that and he may not be super happy with the organization. I don't know. I mean,
hold your thought, please.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll continue the discussion about Dave Dombrowski, and we will also maybe be back and this Red Sox game will be over. Benintendi did just try and end it with a massive swing, not the strikeout swing. Not the check swing. But before that, he did try to end this game in what would have been, I think, 9 minutes.
talk about this ump.
But
this, talk about ump show over there today.
Hold your retort to Christian's point about Dombrowski, and we will continue. We've also got calls on Patrick Chung. We'll kind of reset the timeline on everything Patrick Chung related on this day. Here on Zolak and Bertrand, which today is the Adam Jones Show, featuring Christian Arcan. And me heart.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think I said this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm going to tell you a story.
The Red Sox win. The Red Sox win. Look at these. They don't know what to do. The Red Sox game is over. 12 minutes. To complete this game this afternoon at Fenway Park, we joked about it. We goofed on it and said, this game could take 10 minutes.
Best game of the year.
It did not. They did not finish the game in 10 minutes. It took them 12 minutes. Brock Holt with the RBI winning hit to essentially send this team away, tail tucked between their legs. So long.
Look at Holt. Look at this. Have you seen this, Hardy? Look at what Holt does to celebrate. Runs in from first base and then slides across home with his helmet on and his stupid blade sunglasses on.
Well, those are specifically designed for baseball. I don't think he would wear those out, you know, driving the Miata.
No, I would imagine that's not the case. Here he goes. Oh, he's running away from his teammates and then he slides home. Big win for the Red Sox. Going places. In your face, Richard Lovelady, whoever you are, who came in out of the bullpen for the Royals. Yeah, suck on that, Lovelady. Look at this slide by Brock Holt. Red Sox are back. Red Sox are best win of the year, if you ask me, Hardy.
Best game of the year.
Best game of the year, best win of the year.
There's Wally.
Wally's into it.
Well, they got to do something for all the kids. Look, there are a lot of people there. Yes, there are. That last shot, there were a lot of people there who came in for this, not a game, a continuation of the game today, knowing full well it may not take that long.
Are they doing a full post game? They woke up Lenny DiNardo for this? Hey, we're going to the bullpen. Lenny DiNardo, Manny Del Carmen, get in here, guys. We need you. It's a big game to break down.
So that's it. The Red Sox end up winning. What was the final score?
5-4, obviously. Huge game.
Okay.
Yeah. It's 4-4 when it got suspended. It's a 5-4 win.
Tom Caron is reporting the official time of the resumption at 11 minutes, 30 seconds to finish this game today.
Is that what you call it, resumption? Because I'm struggling with my headlines over here. I don't know what to call this.
Yeah, the Red Sox resumed their game with the Royals this afternoon and completed the contest in an additional 11 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, I got all that part. I just didn't know what to call it.
Okay.
1-1. Line shot down into the corner. That's all the way to the wall. That's a fair ball, and that's a winner. Here comes Owings in to score. And that quickly, the Red Sox win the ball game, 5-4.
I hate my life. Why are we here?
Sliding it home.
Ho, ho, ho. He's like a kid in a candy store. If bases were candy and he were a kid that could afford $300 Oakley Blades.
Jolly good time today at Fenway Park.
Well, now the kids get to run the bases. Mm-hmm. Wally's there.
They have to run those bases for like 2 hours.
The Royals get to travel.
They're still running.
What's the dew point at still? Is it still very humid out there? Do you even want to run the bases on a day like today?
Oh, after a win like that, I'd be fired up. Yeah, I'd be motoring around the bases. Yeah, like Bryce Harper after his home run the other night. I'd be motoring around the bases. Or like that guy who ran in. You see the guy who sprinted in from the bullpen for the Phillies? That guy?
Oh, yes.
I'd be running around like that. How can you not be fired up after a game like that? 11:30, Red Sox win. Season back on. Of everybody they could beat, Richard Lovelady, I must say I was impressed. I thought
well,
he came out dealing.
That son of a bitch deserved a beating, in my opinion.
You think so?
Deserved to take the loss.
Why is that now?
The name alone.
Richard Lovelady. 7.32 ERA this year, though I imagine that's going up.
Yeah.
That's going up. Red Sox gave him the what for.
Rough outing for Lovelady. Yeah.
Two players.
Did I tell you Josh Taylor looked nasty, or did I tell you Josh Taylor looked nasty? He wasn't giving up any hits today. I called that no-hitter right out of the chute.
At least one player who was in the game today was not on the roster the first time these two teams played. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think the guy who... Did Owings score the winning run?
No, Vasquez did.
Oh, excuse me. No, Vasquez was a pinch run for you.
You're right, but it was Sam Travis, I think.
11 minutes and 30 seconds featured a pinch runner.
The guy who didn't even start the game, or wasn't even on the roster who started the game, Chris Owings scored the winning run, yes.
Yes, okay. As a pinch runner for Vasquez. Maz is out there losing his mind. I'm sure he will comment on this coming up on Felger and Maz at 2 o'clock. Mm. Why do you pinch run in a tie game? Like, what does it matter? I don't know.
That's baseball,
too bad the baseball
Susan.
Reporters got preempted tonight for Patriots pregame.
Ugh.
How are they going
to... Could have had a full hour to talk about this.
Good point.
It's just a joke. It's a joke. But that is what Major League Baseball decided to do. And what does this do for the Red Sox playoff implications, Christian? Where do they stand now?
I believe this puts them at 6.5. Double-check that real quick.
They started this game 4 games over 500. They ended at 7 games over 500.
What?
Wow.
Oh, I see. Because of back when they started the game.
Four games over 500.
That was a brain buster by Jim. I see what he's saying now. 4 games over 500 back on whatever the hell day this game started.
Six and a half. Back of the wild card.
Season back on. Mm-hmm. Win like that? That's a galvanizing win, Hardy. The Royals tried. I mean, they gave you their best effort. They threw Richard Lovelady at you. It's not like they wanted to get out of town and didn't give a crap about the game. That's a big win. Use the momentum. Carry that over. Where are they going next? West Coast?
San Diego, right?
Yeah, I got to get on a plane.
Look out, San Diego. Wouldn't want to be those Padres tomorrow, I'll tell you that.
Well, we've seen good things happen to Boston teams taking a plane trip out west, and it can, kind of galvanize them like it did for the Celtics earlier this season.
Yeah, turned the whole season around.
That works.
It did. Mm-hmm. It did.
Mm-hmm.
Think anybody showers before the flight? Maybe Holt.
Did anybody break a sweat?
Holt got dirty. sliding in the home plate there.
Vasquez and Owings each had to run two bases.
Yep.
Taylor had to throw like six pitches.
Hembry's always pretty sweaty. I bet he had to shower.
He's just
sweaty anyway.
Yeah. Wet.
Yeah, he's always looked sweaty. So I'd shower if I were you.
He's kind of got that 70s look about him. You look at any photo, and even being like films, movies from the 70s, everyone just looks a little on the smelly side. I don't remember it as being a particularly smelly decade. I mean, I was very young.
You might have been
I was alive in the 70s.
You might have been noseblind to it.
Well, just kids are immune to a lot of smells anyway.
Yeah.
You know, especially their own. All right, so let's reset with everybody what's happening with Patrick Chung today. We'll take a call here first from AJ in Westford, and then we'll tell everybody what's going on in case you missed it. Essentially, indicted on a cocaine possession in New Hampshire. That's the 8-second version. AJ, what do you have on Patrick Chung?
Hey, man, it's Al, but let's keep Patrick Chung away from Josh Gordon the entire season, okay? That's it.
All right. Well, I suppose, you know, the Patriots are going to open themselves up to that kind of commentary. The thing on Josh Gordon, honestly, my feeling on Josh Gordon is that it doesn't matter who's around him, what programs he's in, whatever it is he is involved with. If he's done, then he's done. And hopefully we'll stay done without any kind of relapse or anything like it. And it goes beyond substance. I think there are some mental health issues when we're talking about Josh Gordon. But the fact is, when people talk about is you know, being an everyday football player, what's best for him? Is that really the healthiest place for him? I contend it doesn't matter all that much. What really matters is if he's done with that stuff or he's not. And that's, you know, a decision. You'll hear it referred to as, you know, hitting a bottom. You'll hear it referred to as, you know, as a breaking point or as some kind of a moment of clarity. The way I've always thought about it is, are you done? If you're done, then you know, whatever program, whatever treatment becomes relatively easy. You maintain every day. You do what you have to do to keep your head in the right space. But the decision has to be made, or just the realization that, wow, this doesn't work for me at all. If he hasn't come to that conclusion, then it won't matter. Have Patrick Chung blowing rails in the locker next to him. You know, if he's already made that decision, it's got nothing to do with me anymore. If he's done, good. If he's not done, then we'll be looking at another indefinite suspension handed down to Josh Gordon midway through this season.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if changing, you know, some of the environment around him. And when I say that, I mean, obviously he's been a professional athlete for a while. I wonder if, like I've said this a bunch, Hardy, I don't know if you've heard this, but I say leave him on NFI, leave him on the non-football injury list and have him come back and have to go through all the work of professional football, but get none of that glory, right? None of that glory of Sundays and get your uniform on Sundays and you're on SportsCenter and people are talking about what a great catch you made and what a great game you had. Like, let's see if he can be accountable and on time and showing up to meetings and all that in the meantime, and then ultimately turn around and give him that jersey and let him play. I have no idea how the Patriots are going to do that. I think there are some ways where you can help nudge him in the same direction, but ultimately I agree with what you're saying. Circling back to Patrick Chung, this is what I was saying earlier, whether it's Daron Harmon or Josh Gordon, what can the Patriots say to Patrick Chung when it comes to roster security when they didn't do anything with Daron Harmon last year? The league didn't do anything with Daron Harmon last year, and you're giving Josh Gordon his sixth chance. It's not like they're moving on from him, I don't think.
No. The team and in some ways the league, by taking an indefinite suspension and turning it into five games, have put themselves in a position where it'd be very difficult to do anything with Patrick Chung, short of not playing him tonight to try and avoid some of the circus that's going to be surrounding that. Beyond that, what do you do? What do you do? Josh Gordon is on the team. You know? Daron Harmon is on the team.
Right.
Nothing happened to him.
No.
He's
not even going to get suspended this year, I don't think. Yeah. Based on the way that the legal process has to play out, he's not going to get suspended this year if he's even guilty.
And I promise, I said we would kind of redo the timeline. It's a very quick timeline in terms of, you know, when we found out about the information, but we'll tell you what we know regarding Patrick Chung and his cocaine possession indictment coming up here right after Christian Arcanon is Hub Headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, a lot to get to here in our final couple of segments. Number one, the Red Sox took 11 minutes and 30 seconds to finish their game with the Royals today. They win 5-4. The time to wait for a hot dog is being clocked in at longer than the time it took to finish the game.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's why you should go get those gas station hot dogs.
But discounted prices. They might actually be cheaper than a gas station hot dog today.
Good point.
Depending on which gas station you go to. So there's that. There is the Patrick Chung story here today. Again, it is Patrick Chung. We started this around 11 o'clock this morning with reports from a newspaper in New Hampshire, which was our first source on this, the Laconia Daily Sun, which listed in a story a large group of people who were involved in multiple legal wrangling, shall we say, starting with this, with a drug raid, and then just a list of people who had been arrested on other drug charges or charged. In this case, it was this was the item that stuck out. Patrick C. Chung, 32, of Meredith, was indicted on a charge of possession of cocaine. Come to find out that it is, in fact, Patriot Safety Patrick Chung, who now we know is scheduled to be arraigned Wednesday on a charge of cocaine possession. This is according to the Belknap County Attorney's Office in Laconia, New Hampshire. He was indicted on August 8th, according to the attorney's office. And they say in that indictment that the incident occurred on June 25th. We have a further report from Jim Murray, who Christian just had this in his update. Jim Murray has a source that tells him this was the result of a breaking and entering alarm, or an alarm had been tripped at Patrick Chung's home in Meredith, correct?
Yes.
And that the police showed up to check on the home, had probable cause to enter the home, and ultimately end up finding cocaine. Now, this is according to Jim Murray's source, and that led to the investigation and the indictment. So, a lot of stuff going on in this original story from the Laconia newspaper. And the Patriots have released a statement on this as well, as we were wondering whether or not they would do. And we still don't know, you know, anything beyond this status for Chung and the Patriots, beyond their very short statement today, which I will read for you verbatim here momentarily.
You have it?
Yeah. No, go ahead if you've got it.
Well, I was going to say, we're aware of the reports regarding Patrick Chung. We will not be commenting while his judicial proceedings take place.
Thank you.
Two sentences over, done with.
Again, we're doing all the factual stuff here, and we're leaving all the speculation out of it because we really don't know, like, to what extent, you know, this cocaine possession could mean a variety of things. And it could mean a variety of implications for Patrick Chung legally and with the NFL. So I'm reluctant to say anything until we know more about it. But for right now, I think Patrick Chung and his status on the team, for our purposes here on a sports talk station, probably not in jeopardy.
No, and that to me, as a Patriots fan, not to say that we should have our heads in the sand on, you know, this totally, and when it comes to his personal life or anything like that. But, you know, most people listening care about the team and the impact on, you know, his status on the roster, let's face it. And I don't think that's in jeopardy based on what we know now. You know, more comes out, then maybe that'll change. But based on what we know now, I don't even think he's going to get, if the league steps in and he's found guilty, and those were a couple of ifs, by the way, if those things even happen, I don't think he's facing a suspension this year. And I can't imagine he's facing any team discipline or the potential of his roster spot being in jeopardy. Like, if he's healthy, I imagine he's out there all 16 games and starting like he has been for the past however many years here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he wasn't even arrested. Like, that's the other thing. Like, he was indicted, but he was never arrested. We don't know if he was even at the house when the police were there. Like, there's a lot of things that are still very kind of vague about this. So I think that the more details come out, well, you know, and even without the detail, I mean, the trial won't start until next spring. So no, nothing's going to happen.
Do you make anything of the line? And I don't, you know, make it a habit of reading a bunch of affidavits, but there's the two points in the affidavit, right? Patrick C. Chung did possess or have under his control a quantity of the controlled drug cocaine. Point two, Patrick C. Chung committed the above act knowingly. Like, is that just like standard boilerplate affidavit stuff?
I have no idea.
Or should we take something away from that second point?
That makes it sound like he was there, you know, something to say that he had it knowingly. You know, if it was just in his house, he might not have known it was there. But I don't know. That's legalese. I have no idea.
Yeah. And again, we're getting more information on this than a lot of sources are willing or able to report at this time. Obviously, we've got a little bit of wiggle room. As we get some reports in, we can tell you these are unsubstantiated. When the Globe puts something out there, as they did a little while ago, the most they're willing to say is the indictment stems from an incident on June 25th in Meredith, New Hampshire, a town on Lake Winnipesaukee where Chung owns a home. So they're not even saying it's at his home, but they're saying, okay, it's here, and Chung owns a home there. We know that much. No one else was charged in the incident. That's essentially what they were willing to say a little while ago.
Murray's saying it's his house.
Correct.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Hardy Esquire thinks that there's there's some wiggle room as his potential lawyer to get him out of this, though.
B&E? Someone broke in? They left the sugar bowl full of cocaine on my nightstand. What
me? That white stuff on my keys, not me.
And this could mark part of a sea change in terms of the way people think about cocaine. Because just yesterday, and I want to thank Chris for emailing me this story, I missed this entirely. In a landmark ruling, a court in Mexico City has said two people should be allowed to use cocaine legally.
All right! Way to go, Mexico!
Which two?
The unnamed pair can use but not sell small amounts of cocaine, according to Mexico United Against Crime.
Mm. Against crime.
This is the first time cocaine use has been made legal in Mexico.
How are they supposed to get it?
Still needs to be ratified by a higher court.
Feels like an upset. That's the first time it's been legal in Mexico? That feels like an upset.
Possession of marijuana has been essentially decriminalized in many places for a long time. Now, how you get it is almost certainly going to be illegal.
But once you
have it, it's not really against the law to have it. The judge in his ruling had all kinds of wonderful things to say about cocaine.
Yeah. Maybe we need some coke dispensaries. Maybe that's what we need.
It's unbelievable.
Fast moving lines at those coke dispensaries.
Well, they're doing an end run. That's very good. On the war on drugs and saying, well, hell, if we make it legal, then maybe, you know, we won't have all this stuff. The judge in the ruling said that recreational use of cocaine has many benefits, including tension relief.
Yeah.
The intensification of perceptions.
Finally, someone gets it.
And the desire to have new personal and spiritual experiences.
Huh. Honestly, I'm happy someone sees it this way, finally.
Duh.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. It's really for growing along spiritual lines.
Right.
Right?
What we need is Trump to start appointing some pro-coke judges. That's what we need. And coke dispensaries.
Right.
I mean, look.
Medicinal coke.
I lean toward legalizing a lot of stuff. Regulate it, tax it, do all that stuff. I do have to stop short, though, of extolling the virtues of cocaine use as a spiritual experience. I wouldn't go that far.
All right.
Yeah, it's legal.
Tell that to Charlie Sheen, Hardy.
Someone's a party pooper.
Or Patrick Chung or whoever else.
Yeah, you're going to ruin your life it's not a good idea, but if, you know, you're intent on buying it and selling it, might as well make some money off of it for, you know, schools. All right. Again, I haven't really thought this all the way through. I'm reluctant to comment further on it at this time.
Think about it a little more. Flesh that out a little bit more, I'd say.
Who are you giving the looky-loo tonight? Who gets the looky-loo on this Patriots preseason game?
It's a great question. It's a great question.
I don't know if you've ever heard this, Jones, mm-hmm. Arcan. Preseason game number three, dress rehearsal.
Ooh, I like that.
For the regular season.
Like a play.
Hair, makeup, lighting, sound. It's all got to be in place.
They want to trademark that.
We'll discuss who gets the looky-loo. What do you got your peepers peeled for tonight? All of it. Jam two segments into one in our final segment coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's sweet.
Today's takeaways are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Don't fix your weight problem. Solve it with the proven solutions for weight loss. Awaken180weightloss.com. Today's takeaways are what we're taking with us when we watch that game tonight. It's Patriots, Panthers, Gillette Stadium, preseason game number three tonight. I ask you, Adam Jones, what you got your peepers peeled for?
It's a good question, Hardy. I'm a simpleton. But I'm starting with the 42-year-old quarterback. It's my first look at him, as I'd imagine it is for everyone else out there. Were you at joint practices in Tennessee or Detroit? I wasn't. I don't think many fans were. Training camp is training camp. Like, I'll put some stock in preseason. I'm not doing that with training camp, for God's sakes. So, how does Brady look? Does he look 42? Does he have any chemistry whatsoever with Jacoby Myers? Is Demaryius Thomas playing with him? Does Sony Michel get out there and run around a little bit? Is he active in the passing game with Brady? But it all ties back to Tom Brady. And I don't know. I think it's important to see after a step back last year how he looks in our first and last official look at him before the games actually matter in the opener September 8th against Pittsburgh. That is where I would begin and end tonight, though I would say Patrick Chung playing or not playing is a close second.
All right. Arcand?
Piggybacking off that a little bit, the wide receivers, and especially the ones sort of on the roster bubble, like your Berrioses and Dorsetts and Maurice Harris and even Demaryius Thomas. I want to see who of them plays, who gets reps with Tom Brady, and what that means towards the future of that position. I also want to see what happens, because Chase Winovich has really emerged. I want to see what happens at that other defensive end position, because you got Dietrich Wise, Derek Rivers. I know they're both banged up. I don't know if they're going to play, but that's another position that sort of has a bit of a battle going on there, and Shelton and Pennell in the middle. So just basically fringe roster stuff. That's what my peepers are peeled for.
Oh, yeah.
Not enough Rockwell on this station.
It's a bit of a blind spot, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's a failing that Jim just rectified. Of course, I'll be watching Tom Brady tonight and the receivers, but now I'm looking to see if Patrick Chung is playing. That's the biggest story of the day, and Patrick Chung and the indictment of cocaine possession due to the incident in June in New Hampshire. And whether or not he plays tonight will speak to how the team is handling this, where they're really going to be, not saying anything, and it's business as usual. If he doesn't play, it could be an indication of them trying to shield him a little bit from the questions that will undoubtedly be put his way. And whether or not they plan to do anything about this right now, just based on precedent and how things have been handled in the past, it's hard to imagine him suffering real consequences as a result of this if it doesn't go any further down the legal road. obviously, if there are going to be arrests and there are going to be charges filed and any kind of sentences imposed, that changes things. But as of right now, as they're allowing the legal process to take its course, well, the arraignment isn't even until next week, so I would not be surprised if he played tonight. I'll be watching that.
So I... What movie were you guys just talking about? That off the air that he was in? You and Arkand? Some old movie?
Oh, Chevy Chase.
Nothing But Trouble.
Yes, Nothing But Trouble.
Terrible movie.
Bad movie.
It's unbelievably bad.
Tupac, I think it's what...
Tupac makes a cameo, though?
Yeah, he's in it.
Yeah, and the whole Digital Underground. Digital Humpty Underground. Hump, all of them, yeah.
Yeah, they're all in there.
They're all there.
I'll put it in
a court proceeding.
I'll put it in my queue.
Coincidentally.
I'll put it in my queue. But no, I would be surprised if he plays tonight. Easiest thing for the Patriots is just let it be out of sight, out of mind. Don't play him. There's no reason to parade him up in front of reporters. He didn't practice yesterday. I bet that's not by a coincidence. You want to answer the question whether or not the Patriots knew? He didn't practice yesterday. So he's been very active, as you illustrated earlier, in coaching and helping out with the defense, which I find odd. But then he missed practice on Tuesday. I think that's an easy excuse to say, look, it has nothing to do with what's going on. He's hurt. He didn't play. So we're saving him for the regular season. And by then, the story will mostly have died down, and no one will, I mean, I'm sure he'll get asked about it, but it won't be a big thing.
No joke either. I'll be watching the punter tonight. Not only his punts, I'm going to have the stopwatch out, Bedard.
Get the stopwatch out.
I won't be timing the hang time, but I will be watching him on the holds for Gostkowski. So just to see if there's any indication of any issue between those two. I mean, that is the biggest position change for this team during this camp season. It really is. I mean,
bigger than left tackle.
Well, the guy playing left tackle is the guy who we assumed was going to be playing left tackle.
Fair point. I guess
so. That's not a position change.
That's not a within camp thing.
No,
that's true.
No, this is a change.
So I hope everyone has their stopwatches properly calibrated, like the air pressure gauges. Right. You know, Bedard is hammering away, making sure he's got a backup stopwatch, just making sure they're all synchronized, ready to go.
God bless you, Jones. All right, thank you, Adam. Thank you, Christian.
Thanks, Ernie.
Felger-Maz coming up next for a shortened version of Felger-Maz, leading you into Patriots pregame coming up later here on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a Thursday. We got you covered all the way up until 4:30 tonight. Getting you ready for the Patriots pregame and the third preseason game tonight, which you'll hear here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. There'll be two main stories that we'll be talking about today, in addition to various Patriots items leading into the game. But the two news items, one I'm sure you've heard by now, Patrick Chung has been indicted on cocaine possession charges up in New Hampshire. So we'll get into all of that. And I think from a football perspective, there's another fascinating story out of Washington, D.C., where reportedly the Patriots had offered a first-round pick for Trent Williams, the left tackle, which I think is insane.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.